My husband wants me to wear a veil at one time. My husband wants me to wear a veil. At one time I wore it, but I'm not anymore. In what ayah in the Quran is it stated that you must wear a veil? There's no ayah in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you must wear a face veil, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has inspired our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Firstly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in his book and Surah An-Nisa, I think the ayah is 34. I'm not absolutely sure. No. It might be ayah 23. Inshallah, we'll check for the number for the sisters. Inshallah. I don't know the actual number of the ayah, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الرجال قوامون على النساء بما فضل الله بعضهم على بعض, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the man the maintainer, the protector over the women. Because of that, he has given her excellence, he has given him excellence over her from that which he spends, and because of his strength in that which he spends out for her. And the women who are obedient, are those who are pious and they guard that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered them to guard. So in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the first category of a woman, that she is obedient. That she is obedient. Obeying your husband is just that. If your husband tells you, and I use this example all the time, no more questions, sisters, we haven't finished the questions yet, no more questions. I said three, but not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has inspired the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to inform us, and I use this example all the time, that if, for instance, your husband tells you to go and get, and you have the ability to get it, and it's on the shelf. It's on the shelf. You have the ability to get it. You get to the supermarket. Your husband has told you to get Hellman's mayonnaise. And you see a shelf full of Hellman's mayonnaise, even though the Hellman's cost $3 and the Pathmark one costs $1.50, if you deliberately buy the Pathmark mayonnaise, even though there's nothing in the Quran that says buy Hellman's mayonnaise, there's nothing in the Sunnah that says buy Hellman's mayonnaise, but if you buy Pathmark mayonnaise, you are disobedient. You're disobedient, sister. And you will not be able to go into, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides to judge you just on that. And Allah can do that. Just on that alone. On mayonnaise. You will not be able to choose what door you want to go into Jannah. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ayu imra'atan sallat khamsaha wa saamat shahraha wa ata'at ba'laha وَحَصَّنَتْ فَرْجَهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. In another narration, it says that if any woman who prays her five prayers, fasts her month of Ramadan, obeys her husband, and keep her private parts clean and pure, she'll enter paradise. And another narration says, it will be said to her, قِيلَ لَهَا أُدْخُلِي بِأَيِّ مِنْ أَيِّ بَابٍ أَبْوَابِ الْجَنَّةِ شِتِّي. Go into any door of Jannah you want. Just because of mayonnaise. So how much more the face veil? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Can a wooden hanger be used as a sutra? It depends upon the size of the wooden hanger and if it's able to stand up or not. If that wooden hanger, for instance, is the size of the back of a camel's saddle, and you stick it in the ground, then yes, it can be used as a sutra. But if that wooden hanger or metal hanger or whatever is not able to be stuck in the ground to be upright, and you just lie it in front of you, the answer is no. Whether it's wooden, gold, silver, copper, or whatever. Once a sister is divorced and she was dependent upon your husband, or she means her husband, how should you go about supporting yourself and your children? I don't want the sister to get upset with my answer, but my answer is what Allah Jalla Jalaluhu says in His book, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Whoever has taqwa, Allah will make an exit for them and provide for them from a place they have no imagination. And whoever puts their ultimate dependency on Allah, their ultimate dependence on Allah, Allah will be sufficient for them. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the meaning of the hadith is, don't you see how the birds leave their nests at the beginning of the day with their bellies empty, and then they return at the end of the day with their bellies full? It is because of Ar-Rahman, the Beneficent One. So the sister should put her dependency on Allah and fear Allah, keeping her duty towards Allah, and Allah will give her a way and provide for her from a place that she has no expectation whatsoever. Do you need witnesses for divorce? You should have them, or you should immediately thereafter inform some of the brothers that there was a divorce. If your husband wants you to find him another wife, but you don't want to be the blame of problems that may come down the line, are you being disobedient? No, you're not. It's not your obligation to find your husband another wife. How long after intentions are placed does the brother and sister have before they are married? The terminology placing intentions is not a part of the Islamic terminology. But we understand what you mean. Actually, the terminology is that you are engaged. You are engaged, not placed intentions upon. You are engaged. The person who is engaged, they should get married as soon as possible. They should get married as soon as possible. For the Prophet ﷺ said, يَا مَعْشَرَ الشَّبَّابِ مَنَ اسْتَطَاعُ مِنْكُمْ الْبَأْءَ فَلْيَتَزَوَّجْ. O party of young men, whoever of you has the ability to take care of a wife, then get married. فَلْيَتَزَوَّجْ, then get married, means get married immediately. Why are you going to delay it? So they should get married as soon as possible. But no scholar of Islam can say that it's 3 months, 2 months, 1 week, 5 days. That's up to you. But to help yourself and to protect yourself, which marriage is the protection, then you should get married as soon as possible. They say when you leave the bathroom door, you let the jinns out. But what happens when you open the door to enter or exit the bathroom? Do the jinns come out anyway? The answer to this question, sister, is let those people bring their proof that the jinns come out when the door is open to go in or come out. Where is it that it says this? I don't know of any place where it says this, and what the people say is only what the people say, but ilm, knowledge, is Allah said, His Messenger said, and the Sahaba said. Second part of your question is, you did not clear up the question to me about the question where I gave the example, the thief and the money. Yes, I did clear up the answer, sister. I gave the answer based on the Quran and the Sunnah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes you because you deserve the punishment. He gives you two highways. He shows you right and wrong. You are not forced to commit the haram. Therefore, you're punished when you commit the haram. That's the answer. You can't be punished for having nappy hair. How can Allah punish you for having nappy hair? How can Allah punish you for having curly hair? That wasn't your doing. How can Allah punish you for having thick lips? How can Allah punish you for having a size 12 shoe? That wasn't on you. But Allah can punish you for being a homo. For being a homosexual, Allah will punish you. Why? Because you had a choice. If that's not clear, sister, I thought it was clear. If that's not clear, may Allah help me to be clearer
in the answers, inshallah. How is it that girls may play with dolls and it is haram to have mannequins in your house, statues, they look alike? First of all, there's no one that says it's permissible for girls to play with dolls. Who says this? That's number one. Number two, the dolls that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha played with was a horse that had wings and had no eyes. It was a horse that had wings, W-I-N-G-S, and had no eyes or face. Have you ever seen a horse with wings? It doesn't exist. That was a doll that she had. As for other types of dolls, some of the ulama say that she can play with dolls as long as those dolls don't have the face or those other parts of the body that would make that doll distinguished as a human being or something that imitates a human being. And secondly, they're using the doll to learn life skills, not just to play with. They're using the doll to learn how to change diapers or to feed or to clothe the doll or something like this, to learn how to be a mother. Right. That's not considered human, because a face, you got to have a face to be a human being. I mean, you know. Right. No, for instance, I went to... Yes. Okay. Thank you very much. What can a person do when they cannot read or understand Arabic? They can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give them the understanding. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give them the understanding. And the reason why I'm answering the question like this, sister, is because you have to be clearer what you mean. So my answer is, ask Allah for understanding. That's my answer. When you're a little bit clearer on the question, I'll answer it in another way, inshallah, or add to that answer. I know that religion has nothing to do with race, but I am a black woman who seeks knowledge and understanding, and I believe with all my heart and soul that there is a God, and I have submitted myself to do so. The question, number one, why Arabic? And number two, am I not taking on another culture? I'm assuming that this woman is not a Muslimah. I'm assuming that she's not a Muslimah, or she just took Shahada. This question needs to be dealt with separately. This needs to be dealt with separately, inshallah. Separately meaning we can deal with this, we can talk to the sister, inshallah, one-on-one, and I don't mean one-on-one with me, I mean we need to sit and talk to the sister from behind the curtain, inshallah. Inshallah. Is it permissible for a Muslim woman and children to collect welfare and child support from the kuffar? It's permissible if you have no other choice. You don't have another choice, it's permissible. Next question. You went to an Arabic-speaking country without knowing how to speak Arabic. You are not Muslim. In a friendly dialogue, you take your Shahada without knowing its purpose or meaning because you spoke English and they only spoke Arabic. Are you considered in the eyes of Allah as a Muslim or a non-Muslim? The answer would be, do you understand now? The answer would be, do you understand now? If you understand now, yes. If you didn't understand, if you don't understand now, then no, and repeat after me. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship as a deity except Allah. And I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Is it permissible for a woman to boycott her husband in the bedroom? If you want the answer to this question, inshallah, read the book by Sheikh Sadlan called Nushuz. Read the book called An-Nushuz to see if you are in Nushuz. What advice do you have for a sister who is in polygamy, in a polygynous marriage, and she's very pleased with her husband and her co-wife, but her kafir mother gives her a hard time about the polygyny? What can she say to her mother without being disrespectful to make her mother understand the situation, which is beloved by Allah? May Allah bless you, ameen, and may Allah bless you also, sister, ameen. The answer that I would say is, don't worry about the polygyny. The answer that I would say is, focus more on telling your mother about Islam. Focus more on the importance of your mother accepting Islam, and don't even deal with the issue of polygyny. Let your mother deal with, let your mother have the attitude that she wants, and just be patient with your mother. But more importantly, you should talk to your mother about Islam, about who is her Lord and why she was created. As for the polygyny, let her do what she wants to do, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make her Muslim, and be patient in her persecution towards you. What do you do if your husband is supporting his children of a previous marriage and the ex-wife continues to cause fitna regardless of what he tries to do? I would suggest that if she is a Muslima, the ex-wife, that you seek counsel with yourself and the ex-wife and yourself with the imam of your masjid. When a sister requests a divorce from her husband and he grants it, is it permissible for her to leave the house immediately? When is it permissible for her to remarry? The first part of the question is, no, it is not permissible to leave the house. It is not permissible to leave the house. Why? It's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told the men in the Quran, وَلَا تُخْرِجُوهُنَّ مِنْ بُيُوتِهِنَّ وَلَا يُخْرَجْنَا إِلَّا أَنْ يَأْتِينَ بِفَاحِشَةٍ مُبَيِّنَةٍ. That do not put the women out of their homes, and for you the women, they should not leave the home except when there is a clear lewd abomination that has been committed by that wife, meaning like zina, like fornication, or like adultery. It is not permissible for her to leave the home unless it is an irrevocable divorce or a khulur. Then she has to leave that home. As for when it's permissible for her to remarry, it is permissible for her to remarry as soon as her iddah is over, meaning the very minute that her menses leaves for the final, the third menses, and she takes the ghusl. Then she can marry in that same hour. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And also, if she was pregnant, and as soon as the baby completely comes out of her womb, then she can remarry right there on the birthing chair, right there on the operating table, right there in the maternity ward, she can get married right then and there, unless she has twins or triplets. So if the first baby comes out and the other two didn't come out, it is not over. Everything that she's carrying has to come out. And that should be known. Some people don't know that. Some people think, for instance, the woman has twins. The first baby comes out alive, the second baby is inside of her, stillborn. That it is not over until that baby comes out with a DNC or whatever. That it is not over until that baby comes out, dead or alive. This is very important. Now, Sister Injiri is an inspiration to us sisters as a teacher. May Allah continue her teaching. Ameen. And may Allah allow her to stay with us. And I'll say ameen to that as long as Allah wills. Ameen. It's also been an inspiration to me as a sister to have become part of this masjid and to have Brother Dawood as an inspiring teacher also. I have been more calm and reading about Islam, and may Allah bless you, sister. And don't forget that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also blessed us in the Imam Abu Hafs, Abu Adila, Qasim Abdullah as-Salafi. May Allah bless him also and keep him here as the Imam as long as Allah wills to keep him here as the Imam. Where meaning in the Quran or in any hadith does a sister find about her rights in Islam? Oh, wait a minute, this question must have come down with something else, because it's saying where, meaning in the Quran or any hadith does a sister find about her rights in Islam. There's a good book that was written on the rights of women. Called Marriage in Islam by Sheikh Abdul Rahman Abdul Khaliq. It has been now translated into English, and inshallah, I think we used to have it in the bookstore, right, Iman? But we sold out. Inshallah, we'll try to get it. It's an excellent book on the subject of marriage and also women's rights. But you can also find some tapes by Imam Abu Muslima Abdullah Tawfiq al-Salafi, who is the Imam of Masjid Ahl Sunnah in East Orange, New Jersey. You can find some tapes by him on the rights of women in Islam. We're going to end it here with this last question and then come back for the other ones, because the brothers are getting ready to call the event. What are the responsibilities of a Muslim wife to her husband and her household? What are her duties? And you can also find this on tape from Imam Abu Muslima, and also on the tapes that are sold here, called How to Build an Islamic Household. And we'll come back inshallah after the adhan. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammadin Abin Qasim wa ala alihi wa sahabatihi wa sallam. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim Malik yawmiddin wa usalli wa usallam ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. The next question is, a Muslim woman cannot marry a man who is not Muslim. How do Muslim women meet their husbands? The answer to this question is, if it's done properly, inshallah, then she will meet her husband through the guardian. She will meet her husband through the guardian. We're not saying that if a man meets a woman on the job or on the bus or something like this, and then the guardian is contacted, that it's impermissible. We're not saying that. We're saying that the ideal situation is that she is introduced to that man through her guardian. Secondly, she asked the question, if a Muslim woman did marry a non-Muslim man, then what is the difference if she's able to marry a Christian? If a Muslim woman did marry a non-Muslim man, then what is the difference if she's able to marry a Christian, etc.? I don't understand the question, sister. You have to rephrase it. I don't understand the question. It doesn't make sense. Next question. If you take shahada and you do not go home and make ghusl, is it invalid? The shahada is not invalid. If you are a new shahada and you get married without a wali, because you don't have one, but you have been with the brother for 4 years already, is it invalid? What should be done for the woman who marries a man without a wali? That man marries a woman without a wali, and they've been married for 4 years, 6 years, 10 years, 20 years. First thing that they should do, and this should be right now, like right now, I mean literally right now, is make tawbah. They should make tawbah. If they didn't have a guardian for that woman, they should make tawbah, repent immediately, because they committed a sin. The marriage, Allahu A'lam, to rectify the situation is that they get the person who is a guardian for her, a wali, get someone appointed by the imam himself or whoever, and they perform the marriage ceremony again. We're not saying that it's not valid. We're saying that it is fasted, and it's, we're saying it's fasted, it's corrupted because of the fact that they've already been together, obviously, and they've consummated it. 4 years, I mean, is a long time. But if the scenario was different, let's say it was a day, 2 days, then Allahu Ta'ala A'lam, I would say that it was no marriage at all, that is invalid. I would say that it's no marriage at all or it's invalid. So to rectify the situation, inshallah, what they should do is have the ceremony over again with a person giving her over to that man as the wali, and Allah knows best. And Allah knows best. Write it down, send it upstairs, let me send it down. Sometimes when my husband and I have a dispute, he refuses to be intimate with me. It goes into months before he's intimate with me. Okay, but once again, sisters, and the etiquette of seeking knowledge, alhamdulillah, may Allah reward you for your effort, but this is a statement, this is not a question. Sometimes when my husband and I have a dispute, he refuses to be intimate with me. It goes into months before he's intimate with me. But you're not asking anything. You have to ask the question, sister, inshallah. Send it down, inshallah, we'll try to answer. My husband doesn't want me to be around my family because of my family used to be practicing Muslims, and they don't cover, and they party. He said that they are a bad influence, and they are in a state of kufr. Once again, this is not a question. This is a comment. I need a question, sisters. That's not a question. You should not assume that the person, the imam or the sheikh or the alim or whoever, is asking, understands your question. You shouldn't assume that. You should be very detailed when you ask the question. These two last statements on the card are just that. They're just statements. They're not questions. There's no way I can answer it. I don't even know what you're trying to ask me. When you marry a man for the sake of Allah and you know you need to be married to protect your private parts and stay chaste, do you have to love that man for yourself? In definition, can you stay married to a man, your husband, for Allah's sake only? The answer, of course, is yes. We're waiting for the other questions to come down to be clarified. That's the end of the question, sisters. That's the last card. Unless you send... The imam is saying that's it for the questions. If nothing else comes down the chute, don't send anymore. Or should we say, don't send anymore. That's it, sisters. That's it. There's no more. Don't send any more, sisters. Does the father have any rights over his children if they're not Muslim? The answer is yes. But once again, if you're not specific, that's the answer you get. The answer is yes. Now the person might be asking, what right? But you didn't ask that. The answer is yes. I read in Natural Blood of Women a hadith saying that women should stay away from the musalla during the menses. Does this mean that I shouldn't or can't go to the masjid even for classes and walima, etc.? There's no authentic hadith, sister, that says you can't come into the masjid on your menses. There's no authentic hadith that says you can't come to the masjid for walima classes or otherwise on your menses. There's no authentic hadith that says you cannot come to the masjid on your menses. I recently took my shahada and my parents are Christian. They do not agree with my decision, so they are being very disrespectful to me. They do not allow me to wear my hijab in the house when company company other than family comes over. They have threatened to stop paying for my education. What do you suggest I do? I say to you, my beloved sister in Islam, you should advantageously, actively, as fast as the Concorde takes off down the runway, get married. That's my
people to get out of your parents' house, then you have to have patience. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing you with your new shahada and the kufr and tyranny of your family. You have to be patient, inshallah. If they force you to try to not cover yourself, disobey them. If they force you, when other people come over that are ajanib, that they're strange men, and they force you not to wear your hijab, or try to force you, or disallow you to make salah, disobey them. Disobey them. Do not obey them. And keep asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you a husband to get you out of that house. When I call my husband to bed 2 or 4 times during the night, should he come without fussing? What do you mean by calling him to bed? What do you mean? No woman can call her husband to bed. If you mean it by the Islamic terminology, no woman can call her husband to bed. If you mean it by the urfi terminology, the customary terminology, meaning come to bed, sweetheart, it's late. You know, just to go to sleep. Then this is something that is up to him. And he should be considerate about your feelings about wanting to lie next to you. But if you mean from the Islamic terminology, calling your husband to bed, it doesn't exist. Only men call their wives to bed. I am a sister that, inshallah, am trying to be fearful of my Lord and patient with what He tries me. What are some ways to establish good character, and what can you do so that your family, inshallah, can follow you? Also, what advice can you give me about keeping company with people who have good character? May Allah bless you. Ameen. I don't want to sound like I'm trying to run away from these questions, sisters, but inshallah, I would suggest that you buy the tape in the bookstore by my brother and my friend and my colleague Abu Usama Khalifa Abdul Rahman al-Zahabi al-Salafi on how to better your character. The tape that was originally done by Sheikh Majdi Warda and then brought down to the grassroots level by our brother Abu Usama. It's an excellent tape. I suggest that you get that tape on how to establish good character or how to better your character, inshallah. And may Allah help you. Ameen. Which translation of Quran is recommended? Yusuf Ali, Pickthall, or Noble Quran, and why? The translation of the Quran that is recommended is the translation that is the closest to that which Allah means. No one translation gives you every single ayah close to what Allah means. No translation. Yusuf Ali, Pickthall, Muhammad Ali, Muhammad Asad, Noble Quran, any of those. The one that will give you the closest to the meaning of the Quran is the one that you want. The Noble Quran has its benefits. It has its benefits as being one that is closer to the meaning. But in some occasions, Yusuf Ali does the same thing when Noble Quran doesn't. And Pickthall does it when Noble Quran or Yusuf Ali doesn't. For the most part, for those ayat that deal with the names and attributes of Allah and other issues dealing with principles of Islamic law, Noble Quran comes shining through. Noble Quran comes shining through. But there are occasions when Yusuf Ali is right on the mark and Noble Quran is not. And some occasions where Pickthall is right on the mark and Noble Quran is not. So you should try to use Noble Quran, use Yusuf Ali and Pickthall, but using Noble Quran as the touchstone, so to speak, as the guide to see what is correct and what is not correct,
And I would suggest also that you strive with your sister in Islam, my sister in Islam, strive with all you have to learn Arabic. Try to learn Arabic so that you will not be dependent upon any translation, so that inshallah you'll be able to go straight to the books of tafsir of Quran in Arabic, inshallah. May Allah bless you. You answered my question by saying, seek counsel. But the ex-wife doesn't come to counsel, so what is to be done? Inshallah, I still say you should speak to the imam. You should speak to the imam, and maybe the imam can be a mediator by him contacting that sister's husband or herself by way of a sister to try to expedite the situation. And may Allah make it easy on you and keep the fitna away from your home. Ameen. What do you do when you were in a relationship before you took shahada and still have feelings for the man of 4 years? You can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you the patience and the wherewithal to stay far away from him. And you can also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make him a Muslim. To make him a Muslim so that inshallah you can marry him. Inshallah. But as far as being away from him, this is better for your deen, this life and in the next. It's better for you because you don't want to be into the haram. If you still have feelings for that kafir, mushrik, pagan, heathenistic individual, one who will lead you to the hellfire, then you should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make him a Muslim, or ask Allah to remove it from your chest. And Allah knows best. Does a girl have the right to choose a wali besides her stepfather? She doesn't have anyone else in the family to be her wali. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to this sister, فَسُلْطَانُ وَلِيٌ لِمَنْ لَا وَلِيَّ لَهُ, that the Islamic authority, in this case Imam Qasim Abdullah or Imam Ibrahim Abdullah Masjid Ikhwa or Imam Siraj Wahaj and Masjid Taqwa or Imam Abu Muslima or whatever Imam of Masjid that you go to, that Imam in this sense is the Wali, and he has the option to appoint someone if he chooses. The Imam has informed me to remind you sisters, if you want to hear the question, you have to be quiet. You can't have the answer. If you want to hear the answer, then you have to be quiet. You can't have little circles among yourselves, off into the corner, on the couch, on the side, or whatever, talking, yapping, whatever. Even if you're talking about the issue that we're talking about, you have to, one of the etiquettes, again, sisters, one of the etiquettes of seeking knowledge is being quiet. You have to be quiet. You have to be quiet and let what the person who is you're asking the question finish everything that they're saying. Something else might be said. Something pertinent might be added. Being quiet and being attentive is a part of the adab, a part of the ilm, of seeking knowledge. And inshallah, maybe we will have one day a special dars on the etiquette of seeking knowledge. What does the student of knowledge have to do to be considered a student of knowledge? Is it permissible for a wife to question husband about the decisions he makes regarding the household and her social life? Because sometimes he makes decisions without thinking it through, or he makes decisions and doesn't give her any reasons for making these decisions. Or is she being disobedient by not accepting his decisions right away without questioning first? I'll take the second part of the question first. Answer is yes, she's being disobedient. The first part of the question is he should have mutual consultation. He should talk to his wife about what he's going to do. If he has more than one wife, he should talk to his wives about what he's going to do, because it will be the same. Him not talking to his wife about what he's going to do and making a decision is not haram. It's not haram. But Allah does order us in the Quran to take shura, to make mutual consultation between ourselves. Likewise, if he has two wives and he takes it with one, still, he's leaving the other one out. But the final decision always rests on the man. And a lot of times, the women have good ideas and they see things that we don't see. So it's important for the men to confer with their wives, convene with their wives, to see what they're thinking, because sometimes, and in many cases, the women see things from an angle that is different from ours, and they see things that will make it be of a benefit for the family. As for it being haram for him to make decisions without talking to her, then this is not haram. And the sister didn't say that, I'm just adding that. But if he makes decisions and he's been known to make decisions without thinking it through, or he makes decisions and doesn't, and it becomes unsuccessful in the task that he's trying to reach, or the goal that he's trying to reach, then after the man makes salatul istikhara, then that's on him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one we seek assistance from. Allahul Musta'an. Can a Muslim have a dog in their household? Can a Muslim have a dog in their household? The answer is yes and no. The answer is yes and no. If they mean by can a Muslim have a dog in the house for necessity, like a seeing eye dog, or a dog for protection, because you've had some problems with thieves or people breaking and entering, then the answer is yes, out of dorora, out of necessity. But just to have a dog as a pet, huwa haramun, fa huwa haramun, fa huwa haramun. It's haram, it's haram, it's haram. Not permissible. The husband and wife feel some strain in the marriage. They may feel that a temporary separation can help. It could be one night, 3 nights, or a month away from each other. Is there a difference of opinion as to whether or not this is permissible? It is not permissible for the man to separate from his wife except in the house, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Haqqul marati 'ala az-zawj," that the right of the man, or the right of the woman over the man, is that yut'imaha idha ta'ima, that he feeds her when he feeds himself. Waktasa idha yaksuha, or yaksuha idha ktasa, and that he clothes her when he clothes himself. Wala yadrib al-wajh, and he doesn't beat her on her face. Wala yuqabbih, wala yuqabbiha, and he doesn't curse her, use reviling statements. And the last thing the Prophet said, وَلَا يَهْجُرَ إِلَّا فِي الْبَيْتِ, and he doesn't separate from her except in the house. It's not permissible to separate from your wife except in the house. As for the hadith, where the Prophet ﷺ, which is authentically reported in Al-Bukhari, went away from his wife, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, he was told that he was going to do this by him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm going to stay away from you for a month. And where he came back, and it was 29 days, and Aisha, our mother, radiallahu anha, said, "Oh Messenger of Allah, I thought you said you were going to stay away from us for a month." He said, "A month is 29 days and 30 days. That particular hadith has to be looked at in light of, number one, the women didn't separate from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet separated from them. Number two, he didn't leave the house, for the place that he stayed was not in the Poconos. The place that he stayed was not cross town another house, but the place that he stayed was in an apartment above the wives in the same complex called Al-Iliya. This place is called Al-Iliya. He was in the complex up above them, but still in the same household, in the upper apartment called Al-Iliya or Hujurat, the upper apartment, the Ghuraf. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. If a woman was one size when she married, and then after bearing several children or operation, gains weight, how does she handle her husband telling her if she doesn't lose weight, he'll have to divorce her or to get another wife? I would say, number one, to that brother, that he's being very insensitive, he's being very uncaring, he's being very unconcerned, he's being very unkind for the man that really understands the nature of a woman. A man that really understands the nature of a woman, he would never say that to her. In fact, he would say the opposite, even if he didn't mean it. Even if he didn't mean it. For the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا يفرق المؤمن مؤمنة إذا كره الخلق خلقا منها رضي خلقا آخر أو كما قاله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Let no believing man hate his believing wife. Then when he finds a trait that displeases him, let him look to another that pleases him. If she's gained weight, that is because of you, akhi. She has gained weight because you got her pregnant. Or if she gains weight because of an operation, is from the decree of Allah. How would you like it if somebody said to you, if your wife said to you, oh, I don't like the way you look now, I want to get out of it, for whatever reason. And she has the right to do that. She has the right to do that. Where you don't have, the sister doesn't have the recourse that you have. Allahu musta'an. If a man divorces twice without witnesses, is this a valid divorce? The divorce is valid, but they should make it known those times that they got divorced afterwards. Please explain why the sisters pray behind the men during obligatory prayers. After many years of being taught that we must pray in separate areas. If you're talking about the policy of this masjid, that's the question should be rephrased. But if you're talking about in general, the answer is that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the women to pray behind the men, and he didn't put them in a separate place. That's the answer. Next question. How long does a sister have to wait to be married again if she asks the brother for a divorce? How long does a sister have to wait to be married again if she asks the brother for divorce? How long does she have to wait to be married again? 3 months or only 1 month? You have to ask, you have to be very specific, sisters. I don't understand the question. If you ask a man for divorce, and he says that you're divorced, then you have 3 monthly cycles, and after the 3 monthly cycles are over, you make a ghusl, and then you can get married. If you're asking him for a khular, and he grants you the khular, then you have 1 menstrual cycle, which is the iddah for a khular, and then it's over. So you have to be specific what you mean. Okay. The Imam is saying that maybe we should be clearer on the question, praying behind the men. And this, once again, is from the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam placed the women behind the men. He didn't place them in another room. Some people, in an attempt to block the way of harm, they put the women in another room, or they go even further than that. They don't allow them in the masjid at all. They only make a space for them in the masjid. We're saying that this is not in agreement with the Quran and the Sunnah on the understanding of our rightly guided predecessors. And that the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah and his companions is that they have the women behind the men, and that's the reason. My question was, is it permissible for a brother to discuss his marital problems with a sister, then turn around and marry that sister and give her all the time and attention? I don't understand the question. And sisters, please, I beg you in the name of Allah, please don't think that I'm trying to evade your question. I really do not understand the question. I do not understand the question. My question was, is it permissible for a brother to discuss his marital problems with a sister, then turn around and marry that sister, and give her all the time and attention? I think what you mean is, he's talking to a sister that's not his wife about his present wife, and then he marries her. Okay, it's unethical that it's not permissible to talk to that sister in the first place. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive him and all of us. It's not permissible for him to talk to that woman in the first place. If he did this and then he married her and then he gives her all the time and attention, that's a different issue altogether. Giving her all the time and attention has nothing to do with talking about the marital problems. Giving her all the time and attention, if he's doing that, giving her all the time and attention is haram, because he's not being balanced and being fair in his dispensing the time. But one thing has nothing to do with the other. Talking to her beforehand and giving her time and attention after he marries her has nothing to do with the other one. If it is after Isha and your husband wants to hang out, do you, Brother Dawood, think that he should have the decency to call and ask, can I have your time tonight? Yes, I think it's decent for him to call and say, may I have your time tonight? Yes, I do, sister. And that's the end of the questions, unless the sisters are going to send down those questions that weren't clear, further explaining them, inshallah. And as for the sister that asked the question that seems as though she's a new Muslimah, the question about we know what the question was, I've forgotten, but there were some questions that seems as though that person was a new Muslimah or not a Muslim at all, and inshallah we can have the imam talk to that sister, inshallah, in the proper way. If there's no more questions, inshallah, we'll wait for about 3-4 minutes for you to send down the questions again, inshallah, and if they don't come down by 2:30, inshallah, then we'll deem them as have been exhausted. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Also, sisters, if there's any food left, the speaker did not get any food, and he is a little hungry. So if there's any food left, inshallah, would you please send some food down for your brother in Islam, Brother Abu Tasneem Dawoodi.